Hello, and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. I'm about to have just a great Friday afternoon because I got Jimmy Akin. Second hour, we're going to do weird questions. That's always a fun way to close out the work week. And this hour, our good friend, my good friend, Rose Sweet. Rose, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Cy. I am your good friend. I love you very much.
Yes, and I you communicate that which is the sign of a good friend.
Especially like, so, when I'm teasing you and the people behind me don't.
They're encouraging you. Yeah.
Cy, can I say something right away?
Yes, please do, Rose Sweet.
I'm so happy today for two reasons.
I am so happy you're happy. What are your reasons?
Number one is that you have scheduled me today instead of yesterday when I heard that you had to raise $1,000 a minute.
Yeah, it's impossible. You can't raise $1,000 a minute.
How did that go?
I'll tell you what, you can't raise $1,000 a minute unless the Holy Spirit opens the floodgates. And there's been 2 hours in my time here at Catholic Answers during pledge drives where I felt just the Holy Spirit take over, and you just felt like, I got nothing to do with this. One was an hour a while ago with Tim Staples where the phones went out. And so we figured we wouldn't raise any money. We were one of the best hours we've ever had. Well, that's Jesus. You can't do that.
Right.
And then yesterday, you know, we didn't do anything. We didn't change anything. But the response was overwhelming. And it was like the Lord was saying, okay, you're worried about raising $1,000 a minute. That's not enough for me. And you just leave feeling such gratitude, such incredible gratitude. And you know that, you know, we did our part. We answered the phones, but we didn't make that happen.
Well, you know? And Jimmy were really working it, and I was praying for you, too.
Thank you. Well, that's probably what did it. You were praying for us.
Thank you. I think it's important because we're in such a weird cultural place right now. We really need the good news.
Yeah, we do.
So good for you. The second thing I'm really happy about.
Yes.
It's almost September, and the annual Catholic Answers Conference is coming up.
Yay, yes, last weekend of September.
It's my favorite event of the year.
Yeah, there's the Rose Sweet fan club comes. That's what, like, you have gathered around you, and it's wonderful to see you there every year.
Well, I love it. You have great speakers, and great activities, beautiful liturgies, confession available all the time, adoration, good fellowship. It's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you're coming again.
I am.
It's just so nice to be with people. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but that pandemic really put a damper on things.
We need the communion of saints. We need to get back together.
I know.
I don't want to wait till heaven for the communion of saints. I want to taste some of it right now.
Right, yeah. And I'm so glad you're coming. So it's September 24th. Pretty much the prettiest time of the year here in San Diego.
It's really pretty.
And all that stuff that you just said. Plus, I mean, you didn't mention that we do the radio show live there twice, Thursday and Friday afternoon. But
and
that's
you
probably...
will be there, and you'll be signing your copies of your wonderful books.
Yes, I remember last year it had just come out, and I probably signed upwards of 3 or 4 copies. You know, like my hand hurt after that.
Yuck.
All right. Usually, a lot of times we're talking about marriage with you because that's what you do. In large part, you help people with marital questions, annulment questions, all of that kind of things, divorce questions. You also do life coaching for people at rosesweet.com. But today, let's start before marriage with the growing phenomenon of living together as if married without the benefit of marriage. This is everywhere. As a matter of fact, I've heard that about half of the children born in the United States each year now are born out of wedlock because their parents just didn't do it, didn't get married. That hasn't happened. How do you feel about that, Rose?
It's tragic.
Why?
And I know what it is. People are afraid. People are afraid to be locked in, hemmed in, have no escape, be unhappy, carry a cross, be miserable. And the culture really has groomed us the last several decades. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, but particularly in the last few decades, You know, be all that you can be. Do what you want to do. Achieve your dreams. Don't let anybody stand in your way.
Yeah.
And that has gone over to relationships and especially marriage. I'm not happy. I saw a billboard driving in today that said, bored? Call this divorce lawyer. And I'm like,
oh my Lord.
Bored? Bored?
Boredom is cause for divorce now?
Yes.
Man, my wife would have divorced me a long time ago if that was. That's awful.
So I do want to talk about cohabitation in this show today. It's an important topic we need to revisit because a lot of people out there, and I know a lot of your listeners, are either in this situation or have children or friends in the situation, and they don't know what to say or do. And we're going to cover that toward the end, I think, hopefully.
All right. The number is 888-318-7884. The difficulties and the reasons not to cohabitate today with Rose Sweet, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to get in on that conversation, we'd love to get you in on that conversation. All right, Rose.
Yeah, I want to share a story of a very dear friend who, when she was in her 30s, wanted to be married and wanted to have kids and was ready to give herself completely and totally in marriage, but nobody was really coming along asking for her hand in marriage. So she went with a bunch of her Catholic girlfriends who were all in the same Catholic ministries together. They were good Catholic young women. And they went to a bar, and this woman met a nice, handsome, charming man. And she recognized right away that he had a little gold cross on a chain. So she thought, oh, good, Christian, tick that little box off.
Uh-huh.
So she went out with them. They fell in love, and he was kind of hesitant to get married, but she was chomping at the bit.
Mm-hmm.
So they talked about moving in together. Now, she was from a big Catholic family. She knew this was against church teachings, but she had rationalized to herself that all those old celibate men in Rome really didn't understand modern thinking. And if this guy said he loved her, and clearly he wanted to be with her, and he did say that he wanted to get married again someday, because she found out later, much later, that night that they met, he had just left his previous wife.
Oh, but she didn't know.
And didn't say anything, and she didn't know. So they move in together. And she feels a little uneasy, but she's also excited, because if he could see what a wonderful wife she could be. She's a good cook. She's sexually available. He had a little child from a previous marriage. She became the most perfect. She could be a stepmother, and she could just take care of everything, and he would love her and just beg to marry her.
Yeah, I see that plan. On the male side of it, that doesn't seem like that plan's going to work for her. But
he didn't beg to marry her, but he felt pressured because he didn't know what else to do, and he totally appreciated that she was there and taking care of everything. So he slid... They slid into marriage after cohabitation.
Okay.
Now, you might have guessed this friend of mine is me.
Ba, ba, ba.
So this was over 30 years ago, and I had one foot in my faith in the Catholic Church and the other foot in the culture, like so many people today still do. And we did end up divorced a few years later, and I'll never forget, Cy, when I asked my then husband, why did you even marry me? And here's the thing, I already knew the entire time that he felt like he had no other option. I knew that he married me because it was convenient. So he looked at me and he said, because you look good on my arm, sex was great, and you loved my son.
Wow, thanks.
That cut to the core, but at the same time, it was the absolute truth that I'd always known. I knew through the entire time that he didn't love me the way I always wanted to be loved and needed to be loved. And I certainly didn't love him the way God designed him to be. We used each other.
Yeah, well, explain your side of the using. You used him because, in what sense,
I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to be lonely. I didn't want to be a woman with no children. I didn't want to not fit in. All my girlfriends were married. So it was all about me designing a life that would make me happy. And he, in a certain sense, you know, this is with God's grace and wisdom and hindsight, he was a chess piece that I put in this picture.
Yeah.
And he made it complete. So it was sinful, and it was prideful. And my spiritual director, God bless him, pointed out, you were so filled with pride. What? What, Father? What? Because you thought you deserved to be happy and you deserved to bend the rules the way that you wanted.
What a great insight.
Right.
Wow.
So pride is everywhere. It's cohabitation is a poor, fearful, prideful, and self-centered effort to get something good.
You know, I think in the modern world, we don't like to use those old-fashioned words like pride, but the word is entitlement that's out there now. You're entitled to all this. And that, I mean, I do think we're, for whatever reason, we are very entitled. And I think even that way you describe dismissing those celibate men well, that's not the teaching on marriage. It's not the product of some celibate men in Rome. It's the accumulated wisdom of the human race and the teaching of Jesus Christ. But there is a certain entitlement that just wants to be able to dismiss that.
Well, and you know that because you're in this business of understanding and going deeply into our faith. As a 30-year-old woman, I knew Jesus, Mary, and the Ten Commandments, but I didn't know the issues of morality and philosophy and the 2,000 mm-hmm. years of wisdom, and I didn't give a rip in a certain sense because I just wanted to be married.
Yeah.
And there, I know there are still people out there today who are just doing the same thing I did, and my heart breaks for them, and yet I think they may not listen until they come crashing down and have enough pain and then cry out to God and say, Lord, help me. And then that's what happened to me. And he will. He's faithful to that.
Yes, right. Again, the number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about cohabitation. Not a common topic so much anymore. As a matter of fact, it almost seems sometimes like we've surrendered the field there and just we're, you know, hoping for the best. But there is the accumulated wisdom of all the generations of humanity behind the idea of the permanence of marriage between a man and a woman. But there is also the fact that Christ elevated marriage, that he took, as a matter of fact, it's the only one of the sacraments that pre-exists, that Christ took something else that had already existed and made it sacramental. So he gives the imprimatur, the divine imprimatur, to what humanity really already knows about marriage. I mean, it's not, Jesus is not teaching into a void. There's not a new thing. It's just he gives the divine clarity to exactly what God means by marriage.
Like all good parents, and with divine pushing against that clarity are all the little jumping up and down screaming kids who want their way.
Yeah, right.
You know,
we do.
This is another thing that I'm very aware of in the church. You know, in recent years, we've all been up in arms about those who attempt marriage without an annulment or who attempt marriage with a same-sex partner. And we know that it is wrong, it hurts, it's sinful, and we're all jumping up and down on those bandwagons. But nobody's really saying, well, yeah, but you're living with your boyfriend, and so what if you're engaged?
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people who have same-sex attraction are very angry and upset at the imbalance and the double standard that appears in the church. You know, you guys are on us, but what about Susie and Billy,
right,
who have been living together for 6 months?
Well, one of the interesting things that you have given me in the notes for today is this idea that you're not more likely to have a successful marriage if you cohabitate. You're actually damaging the habits that will be necessary for a successful marriage. So after we take the break, we'll talk about that a little bit.
Perfect.
We've got a couple folks on the line, and we'll get to those calls. That means four lines are open, 888-318-7884, talking about cohabitation. With Rose Sweet. We'll be right back to do more of that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Wherever you are in the world, you can access the EWTN Global Catholic Network. It's everywhere. You can get EWTN's great Catholic programming on your car radio, at home on your TV, computer, or smart speaker. With EWTN's app, you can take EWTN everywhere, on your phone or mobile device. If you want your news in print, turn to EWTN's paper of record, the National Catholic Register. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, with Rose Sweet. And sometimes we do talk about divorce with Rose. We'll talk about annulments with Rose. We'll talk about attempts at marriage, like plural marriage or gay marriage or that kind of thing. But one of the things that we don't talk enough about, maybe as a church, is the beautiful teaching on marriage as a counterbalance against this cultural habit we have now of just people sliding in to the cohabitation and lacking the kind of I suppose seriousness and intentionality that it requires to get married and to make the kinds of decisions that that come with marriage. If you want to get in on this conversation, we'd love to have you. If you want to share your experience, that might be very helpful to young people listening. If you have questions about how to talk with family members about this or questions about your own situation, Rose is good at all that. 888-318-7884. Share a little bit more with us, Rose, and then I'll go to the phones and we'll get some calls.
Okay. We're all made for this perfect kind of love, and this is what the church teaches. It's the way Jesus loves his bride. We've talked about this before. I'm borrowing from St. John Paul II's beautiful love and responsibility theology of the body. We want a love where the other person is free of pressure and fear and agendas. They choose us for our own sake. They just adore us, right?
Right.
They want that no pressure, free. They want full. We want full love. Don't hold anything back from me. Give me all you got, baby, and I'll give you all I got.
Right.
Forever, forever, till death, right? We want, please be faithful to me. Don't ever expose me to any harm or lead me down any bad path. Just bless me and love me and protect me and take care of me. We all want that, right? And let our love be fruitful. Let whatever may come, whatever blessings and joy come from our union, let's be open to all of that, right? We all want that. Well, here's what cohabitation says. Well, I like part of you. I do love part of you, but I'm not sure if I know all part of you. And I'm a little bit afraid of being trapped, because if it doesn't work out and I'm not happy, I don't want to be stuck with you. And I don't want to put you on my will or my bank account yet, because what if I don't like you again and it doesn't turn out and I really don't trust you. And you know what? Let's just live together and have sex. I'll be sexually available to you and vice versa. And even though the church it says it's wrong and it puts your soul in danger, you know what? Let's forget about your soul for now. We're happy now, right? I love you. Let's just now, right? Okay. So let's commit sin, and God will bless us if we love each other, right? God is love, right? So, and kids, I'm not ready for kids, you know? So please contracept and maybe take the pill, which is cancer causing and all those other stuff. And if you do get pregnant, I will pay for the abortion. This is not love.
No.
This is horrible using of the other person, and we can't wake up and see it because we're so afraid of being alone and unloved. So afraid. This is why I have compassion, but it also makes me sad and sick at the same time.
888-318-7884, the number. Rose, I know you got more. I'm going to get some folks on the line with you.
Let's do it.
We'll do some calls and then continue our discussion about cohabitation. Maria in Wisconsin, listening on Ave Maria Radio. We're glad you're here, Maria. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Yeah, my question is this. I mean, growing up, I've been born and growing up as a Catholic, and unfortunately growing up in a very dysfunctional family, even Catholic, you know, but I fall in the same path. So I married my husband. I never been with a man before. He was the only boyfriend, my only man in my life. Unfortunately, I just realized, I mean, he mistreated me, he devalued me all this year after 30 plus years. Now we're in the middle of divorce. Now, my question is this. What should I tell my kids now? I'm wondering if I probably go have it with my boyfriend before. I mean, probably I will know. I will see the red flag that I didn't see because I was married, you know, without cohabitation with him. So that was all like, how do you say, blindfold, you know?
Yeah,
Maria, I'm really glad you used that word blind, because here's what happens when you live with somebody. It's not a trial marriage. In fact, the Catechism of the Catholic Church warns against that. It's a grave offense against the dignity of persons and marriage. But sex, when you're united in sex, and this is the way God designed it, it blinds you to the red flags. I mean, when you get married, when you get married properly and you're nitpicking your husband or your wife, you know, coming together and making love is supposed to help you, like, not be so nitpicky and be soft and tender toward each other. So sex by its design blinds you and binds you. So this is why statistics show that people who cohabit are, they 60% of them break up. And of the ones who do go on to marriage, 50% of them go on to divorce. So it is not a way to see red flags and run. You get in like a mud puddle and you get stuck. You get bound to each other and you're blind to the red flags, and you move forward in hope and fear. And that's where we make our mistakes. So please, Maria, tell your children.
I hope, yeah, that I have, that he will change, everything will get better. Yes.
No, no, no. What you see is what you get. That, and I learned that too late in life. But the reason we're afraid to leave is because we're afraid to be alone. We don't know how to be alone, and so many other reasons. But as you were talking, I was thinking this example. Maria, what if you were driving down the street and all your kids are in the car with you, and you start texting, and you know you're not supposed to, but you do because it's real important. And you go off the side of the road and kind of flip the whole family van. Now, nobody gets horribly hurt, but you did a big bad thing, right? So even though you did it and you were stupid and you were wrong, you want to tell your kids, don't do what I did. Don't text while you're driving. Don't live with your boyfriend or girlfriend before marriage. Take the high path. Take the high road.
Maria, what do you think?
Well, I don't know if she she knows that I did not never cohabitate.
You didn't cohabitate.
Right.
Right.
So I should still tell my kids, though, even though, you know, this, I know it's very difficult time that we're living now. But
it seemed like this is what I understood, and I'll just check with you, Maria. It seemed like your fear was, okay, now I'm a child of divorce. I divorced. I teach my children not to cohabit, and they're just going to get married, and they'll end up divorced. Is that the fear under it, Maria?
Yeah, yes.
Right, yes. And so living together does not increase their chance of escaping divorce. Living together is statistically proven outside the church, in the culture. These studies have proven a much higher rate of misery and heartbreak and divorce for people who live together before marriage.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And God bless you, Maria. Thank you for the call, and thank you for sharing with us.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. This is the thing I think that many people do think, though, is that trial marriage, as the church calls it and you called it, or cohabiting, somehow gives me life experience that'll make me better at marriage. How do you respond to that?
Well, it sounds good on the surface, but that's what we tend to do. We don't think very deeply anymore in our culture. Don't get me on how we don't even teach our kids in the schools to think rationally or deeply anymore. But it sounds good, but test it. When you are in it and it feels good and it feels like marriage and you're having fun because you're in the honeymoon stages and you're having sex and you're doing things together, you're binding yourself. And it is very, very difficult to walk away from that.
Right. Makes all of that
you
much
know,
more difficult.
So you're living with somebody for a year and you're just like everybody, you look like you're married, you feel like you're married, and all of a sudden you find out he has a huge addiction, you're more likely to go, well, maybe with time it'll get better, and some prayer, yeah, prayer.
Right.
Instead of going, wait a minute, I'm out of here.
Red flag, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, whereas if you had refrained from the living together. You know, I sometimes think one of the things we don't like to talk about, too, is that this kind of thing is not the same for women as it is for men, because there is a limit on how old a woman can be when she has children. And so sometimes I think men are just goofing around and they're wasting this woman's time by making her think they're going to have babies together.
Well, let's not go off on that path against men, because I could be there all day, Si.
Oh, okay,
No. We are equally guilty of using each other.
All right. I'll take your word for it. We will be right back with all the lines full. Lots of folks want to talk about this. I'm glad we do. We have that opportunity. We'll talk about more about cohabitation right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Can you defend the Church's teaching on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist? Do you desire a deeper relationship with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? Join us September 22nd through 25th for the annual Catholic Answers Conference in San Diego. This year's theme is the Eucharist, I Am With You Always. Featuring all the Catholic Answers speakers and special guest Bishop Thomas Papraki, use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you have a clean joke to share with the world?
Be with us Monday on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trying to save some of you from some trouble. It's a bad habit. I'll tell you that. That's the way I think of it. It's a bad habit our society has gotten into, our culture has gotten into. And sometimes we don't like to look at our bad habits, but a bad habit of being casual about sex outside of marriage, first of all. But maybe that's always been a bad habit among humans. I don't know. I haven't been alive that long. It seems like it, Rose, but I haven't been alive that long.
No, you've been alive a long time.
The habit of neglecting marriage or dismissing marriage or just avoiding marriage, this is a really serious bad habit that we are in. And I know that the Church would like us to go back to better habits in that regard. So if you have questions about cohabiting, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I'm going to go down to San Antonio, Texas. Stephen, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Stephen, go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Okay, my question is this concerning the cohabitation of couples and marriage and all that. Here's the way I see it. I think the couples that cohabitate, let's say for 5 years, and then they get married and then they get divorced, like you were saying, it damages marriages, cohabitation. But I feel that those same people that cohabitate with each other and they break up would have been the same people that would have gotten married and then they would have gotten divorced, because I feel like it's a couple that makes or breaks a marriage. It's a couple that makes or breaks cohabitation. And here's what I mean. Like, perfect example, Oprah Winfrey and Stedman, they've been together for like 40 years or something like that. And they're cohabitating. They're not married. Oprah doesn't believe in marriage. So, but yet, if they would have gotten married 40 years ago, these are the same couples that would have stayed committed in their marriage. So it's down to the couple. I don't think it's cohabitation that makes or breaks the marriage. I think it's just the couple that makes or breaks the marriage. These same people would have gotten a divorce whether they cohabitated with each other or not.
So I'm just curious, then I'll let Rose answer. What do you make of the fact that there has been a vast increase in both cohabitation and divorce? You don't think that these are related?
I think those people that are cohabitating are going to be the same type of people that if they didn't cohabitate, they just got married, 5 years later, they probably would have broken up and gotten divorced anyways. I don't really think the cohabitation is the issue. I think it's the couples. I think it's the two people in the thing.
Okay, Rose?
Let me acknowledge the truth that is in your point, and that is every marriage does ultimately depend on the maturity and the ability to love of the man and the woman. You are absolutely right. It depends on the person. However, that is not the only reason, and that cohabitation has been proven to cause great damage to the psyche of the person and to the relationship. And as a matter of fact, I happen to bring 10 side effects, negative side effects of cohabitation. It's like those ads for, like, you know, medicine on the TV. Like,
oh, now you're going to give us the negative side effects?
Yeah. And now I'm going to play soft, beautiful music while I'm, saying, this could kill you.
Yeah.
Okay. So cohabitation is a counterfeit. It plays at marriage without giving the best goods of marriage. And therefore, it sets the couple up to give only what they want or feel free at the time to. And that attitude doesn't change after the wedding. That's a habit. Number two, it uses and deprives and endangers the self and the other. It says, it conveys to you, you're not worth all of me. You are not worth all of me. And that goes deep inside someone's mind, heart, and soul. And all kinds of things develop from that. Number three, it risks a child being born into a really unstable or even dangerous situation, or even being aborted, which, again, forget just the death of the child. That spreads out to everybody involved, including the family. Number four, it disrespects the dignity of persons, of marriage, and of sex. It, in effect, says that marriage isn't that important. Marriage is just the last step where I'll put you on my bank account and the life insurance policy. And it's self-determining. It's ignoring years and thousands of years of human history and wisdom. Number five, it has a huge failure rate that we talked about. 60% of people who live together break up. And that is pain, misery, lack of trust, depression, even suicide comes from that. So we can't say that it doesn't make that big of a difference. Number six, it increases the risk of divorce. We talked about that by 50%. It binds you and it blinds you. Number seven, and this is a big one to me. And Stephen, to your question, it depends on the person. The number one killer of any relationship, any friendship, any marriage, any business partnership, the number one killer is selfishness, self-protection. And cohabitation is all about selfishness and self-protection. Number eight, now here we can bring our religion in. These were reasonable arguments, reasonable side effects. And now, well, let's bring religion in with reason.
Okay.
It's idolatry. It's saying, I deserve to live my life this way and use my body this way and to be a relationship this way. And I expect God to bless it, or at least maybe ignore it. And I have to have it to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you put that above God and your love for God and his will for you. That's a form of idolatry against the first commandment. And really, as we know as Catholics, as Christians, all sins flow from that first commandment. To desire and to want and to pursue anything with the fierce intensity that belongs only to God. Number nine, it places the couple in constant temptation to other serious sin, fornication. You know, sex outside marriage says, I want your body, but I don't want your heart and your soul and your mind, and I don't want, or maybe I want all that stuff now, but I don't want it. Maybe next month I don't want it. It's a terrible violation of the dignity of human persons. And we're willing to put up with that because we're scared and lonely. And number 10, and this is huge too, and I think this is where we are today. It gives cause to others to justify their sins. Look, if Rose Sweet can live with her boyfriend and have sex outside marriage, and look, she runs a catechism ministry and she goes to church and she and Father are friends, and she's not paying attention to those rules, then maybe I don't have to pay attention to the other church rules. If Rose cannot have to do that and still Father invites her over to his house for dinner, well, why should I follow all the rules?
I'm going to go back to Stephen. I just want to see what Stephen has to say. I just want to make sure that we got all 10. But
I know that was
Stephen,
long. But...
No, you gave a cause, Stephen, for a good conversation. What do you make of all that, Stephen?
I totally agree. I mean, I'm not advocating for cohabitation, but here's the thing on the statistics, though. You said that, like, the 50% of marriages where they cohabitate end in divorce. But I was just wondering, statistically, people who don't cohabitate and get married, isn't it the same statistic, like 50% of those also get divorced? Or am I wrong about that? What's the stats on that, if you don't cohabitate?
You're more likely to get divorced if you have cohabitated. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that even social scientists would agree on exactly what the difference is. I mean, the things that I read, there are, you know, and in all social science, there's kind of politics about it, so it depends. But I think that there is a general consensus that you're more likely to get divorced if you have cohabitated, but there's not a consensus on exactly what the number is.
Well, and there's a lot of different layers to this, and I know we don't have time to get into that, but this is a great question, Stephen. When you're willing to go into a half relationship or a counterfeit marriage, something happens to you and you're maybe, like I did, you're willing to do it again. Maybe I just needed to try harder. And it distorts the thinking. It distorts the perception of yourself, of the other, of marriage. But people who will rightly hold back and not get blinded by sexual activity and quasi-marriage have a clearer vision most often of what they want and what they're willing to enter into. Some don't. You're right. Some are going to be the idiot with cohabitation or not.
Yeah. Right. Sure. We've always had that.
Right. But it's proven. It changes your mindset. It changes the way you look at things. And it's never good.
And when you say it changes the way you look at things, I'm interested in that thing about scandal that you talked about, because there is a kind of community standard that changes where we don't expect people to stay together. We don't expect people to stick it out through really tough times. And that, to me, then you get into marriage yourself. I don't know if you know this, Rose. Marriage is hard. and so, like, the encouragement to just kind of, I mean, just the general acceptance of the fact that, yeah, people move on from one another, and the failure to encourage people, no, stick at this for life. There's a great reason to stick at it for life. That habit of mind is damaging to individuals, but also damaging to the whole of society. I mean, which is kind of why we see the mess we're in.
Right. And at the very heart of it is the way we look at another human person. Basic thing.
Right.
Are you worthy of protection and fidelity and sacrificial love? Are you worthy of me making myself a total gift to you, no matter what it costs? Yes, you are. You are that worthy. And I don't want to give you any less if I truly love you. Now, you might not feel that way toward anybody.
Yeah.
But when you do, you can't give them. It's like, it's your birthday. Here's an old magazine that I have under my bed. I'll wrap it up and put a bow on it, and we'll go have a glass of champagne, and you'll love it. It, 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 it's, it, it's,
Right, it's not adequate.
I can't even say the
word. What's deserved. Well, that's the definition of injustice in the Christian understanding, is not giving to others what is due to them.
And we are made in the image and likeness of God. Let me say that again. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We have great dignity, and we owe each other that due.
Stephen, thank you so much for the conversation. I have to take the break. We'll be right back with more on cohabitation with Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I'm continually amazed and humbled at the way God can work through me to help so many people. Although I have no idea what the caller's questions will be that day, I trust that the Holy Spirit can use my education and experience to guide, challenge, or comfort those who call.
Mast Appeal with Colleen Kelly Mast, Saturday morning, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here. We'll do some weird questions with Jimmy Akin, which is always fun. This hour, we're talking about something that maybe we should talk about a bit more. That is the defense of marriage from the perspective of cohabiting is not good for you. It's not what God wants for you. It's not what you deserve. It's not what you owe to the other person. Rose Sweet here to talk with us. You can find out all about Rose at rosesweet.com. Up next is Howard in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on EWTN. We're glad you're here, Howard. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi, Si and Rose. I have a question that's very much related to all we're talking about.
Okay.
I'm counseling a man in his late 50s who is divorced and remarried as a Protestant. He's no longer calling himself a Catholic. Rose, I emailed you about this guy 2 years ago, and you told me to kick his butt.
Has he recovered from the butt kicking?
Well, I didn't know how hard or how gentle, so I took a gentle approach, and he backed away from me, even with a gentlest approach. I believe in gradualism sometimes.
Sure.
The situation now is he totally understands what annulment is, and he should have had an annulment first, and he understands how he gets priests to talk to a bishop about co-validation, and he's dragging his feet, and my mentoring relationship is fading into a passing friendship, so I guess you're going to have to kick my butt.
No. Howard.
Okay.
Remember that Jesus was with his disciples for 3 years, and he gave them everything they needed. And when things got tough, they ran away, and one hung himself. So you are not a failure when somebody doesn't receive the truth from you, okay? You're not a failure. This is a sad thing, and especially parents, too. You give your children, you give your friends everything that they need to make the proper decision, and when they don't, we have to be like Christ, who looked at them with love and let them walk away. We can't lose our anxiety. I mean, we should lose our anxiety. We can't lose our peace and calm. So, Howard, I would give it one more try. And maybe you could say to him, look, I love you and I care about you. But I don't want to be on you all the time and push you away. I'm here for you always. But what you're doing is very harmful. And you are actually blocking God's grace to your eternal soul and to the woman you're with. And any attempt at sacraments is bringing condemnation on you. And these are true facts, and it breaks my heart for you. And I'm going to pray for you. But other than that, you can't force it down their throat, and you can't take responsibility for their choices. And I've said it on the show before. I remember these four things that Jesus did with everybody. Listen, lead them to the truth, love them no matter what they do, and then let go of your anxiety and any over-responsibility.
Howard, I am just because of the time, I'm going to leave that there, and I hope that that was helpful to you. God bless you in attempting to help your friend, and you certainly have our prayers as you do that. Let me see where I'm going here. Hang on real quick. Nancy.
Yeah, we've got a lot of calls.
Yeah, that's what, and we don't have a lot of time left, so I want to get everybody on with you. Nancy in Wheeling, Illinois, watching on Facebook. We're so glad you're here, Nancy. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi, Rose and Cy. Rose, my brother is getting married next month after cohabitating for about 4 years. They have a gift registry, but I'm not even looking at it because they're getting a crucifix, rosary, and a Bible from me. But I would love to give him and her a book or any resources to maybe truly understand their marriage. Thanks be to God, they are getting married in the Catholic Church, but they're not mass attending. They're not very catechized. So do you have any resources that I can maybe have him start his marriage off strong?
Nancy, Catholic Answers here has the best resources anywhere in the world, in my opinion. And there's just go poking around on the website. But let me give my personal spin on that. I was raised Catholic and didn't hate the Catholic Church, thought she was wrong. But what changed my heart was not a book. What changed my heart was hearing people's personal encounters with Jesus Christ, their personal encounters with God. And I began to realize that God was loving and tender and merciful and powerful, and he had lots of good things for me, and I had been running away. And it was in my discovery of who God is and who he is and who he wants to be to me, who he is to me, through personal testimonies and Jesus movies, go figure. There are so many, because for me, I like kind of how you say guys are visual. I'm very visual too. And when I would see somebody portraying Jesus and how wise and kind and loving and how he went to the cross, it just makes me want to cry even thinking about it. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've been running away from that. That's the kind of love I want. So I think before we hand people too many books, we have to pray for and think outside the box of what would move their heart toward Christ. Something that you think would open their mind and heart. I like The Chosen. I don't agree with all of the little theological things on The Chosen, but I like it. And there's so many things else out there. Nancy, I don't know. So other than your materials, they need conversion before they need technical.
That's a really good point. I mean, finding ways to invite people into a closer encounter with Christ, that's what's going to make their commitment to marriage become alive.
And I don't know if you carry his books, but I love Dr. Peter Kraeft's book called Jesus Shock. It's a little book, and it's all about Jesus.
I don't know either. You can check out Catholic.com, but that's not a hard one to find.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I mean, maybe you would want to read this one, Nancy, and just have these insights in you when you talk with your brother. Fulton Sheen's book, Three to Get Married. A lot of people love that book, Three to Get Married, from Fulton Sheen. But I think Rose is right on the invitation to come closer to Christ is the primary thing. What do you think, Nancy?
100%, I agree. Absolutely, I will focus on that, and I will take a look at those resources and read it myself and go from there, but I appreciate that very much.
Nice talking with you, Nancy. Thanks. I'm going to keep going, Rose.
Okay.
Even though you're...
I wanted to say something, but never mind.
Oh, you want to say something?
No, I apologize. Let's take a call.
Charles in Houston, Texas, listening to EWTN on channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You are up next, Charles. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Oh, hi. Hi, Cy. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Charles.
Hi, Charles.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Hi.
Yeah.
Happy Friday. I'm going to throw this out there, okay, for thought. Where in the discussion does it fit where people are married not through the church, but through a judge? You know, these people go to the judge or go to Las Vegas and get married, and it's not really a priest or a pastor. Where in the domain does that fall? Is that in the same ballpark as maybe?
Are these Catholic people? Is what you're talking about?
Could be, yeah. I know several Catholics that have just gotten married. I forgot civilly and a civil marriage.
Gotcha.
Well, is that How do you think about that?
Well, it's never what I think, Charles. It's what the church teaches, because what I think is usually wrong, right? So, yeah. Right. Okay, so here's what the church teaches, that even two atheists who do go to Vegas and get married in front of an Elvis impersonator, if they intend a union as Christ loves his bride, which is free of fear, force, and pressure, a full and total self-giving of each other and permanently until death, and are open to the gift of children and will be exclusive and faithful to each other, they have a valid natural marriage, that the church upholds that as a valid marriage bond. Now, they don't have a sacrament because only baptized people can get the extra graces of a sacrament. So this isn't the same as cohabitation, but I just thought, since you brought it up, let's revisit that. It is.
So for Catholic people, it's different because we are required to observe a certain form of marriage.
And when a Catholic doesn't, it's usually out of ignorance or stubbornness or pride or fear or a combination of those things. They don't want to jump through the Catholic hoops, and they think they know best, and they're just going to do what they're going to do. And like all of us who do that, like Eve when she plucked that apple, there's usually a big price to pay down the road. And you know what? Thank you. Let me be hope for all you people out there who have children who are, or are friends who are living a sinful state in life. God did not give up on me, and God pursued me relentlessly. And when I finally opened up and surrendered to him, he was faithful to heal me and grow me up and bring me closer to him. So all of us have hope. All of you who are listening and have called in, who have friends or family members, don't despair. Don't despair. That's against our faith. We should always have hope. Give it time and give it to God.
Charles, thanks. As you heard, I'm trying to get as many on with Rose as I can before we have to end. So I hope that was helpful to you. Let's go to Gerson in Central Texas, also listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Gerson, go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good.
Hi, Gerson.
My friends, I have a question. My question is, I would like to be free of this inhabitation thought that I have reoccurring through my head. I'm a practicing Catholic. I'm a convert, like the guy that got up on a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Then he sees Jesus, and then conversion just sort of happens. And sort of like Rose, you know, I met him through the encounter, through a personal encounter, because I noticed other people had other personal encounters. And so that's how I met him, just a little background. And I come from an inhabitation, sort of a culture. And but it's a little weird, though, because inhabitation, to me, it's like a lead way drug sort of a thing, where it gets worse and worse. So where I come from, old guys, for example, go to the sweet 15 birthdays, and they offer love to these girls, quote unquote love, and in the face of inhabitation, and it's not, it's just prostitution, and then these girls are like, just, they don't know what to do with themselves. I could give you examples of what's going on.
I only have a minute left, Kirsten. So what do you want Rose to answer for you?
I need help.
Okay, here. Let me just throw this out at you. You do not have to save the world because Jesus already did. I have to remind myself. I'm in a helping business. You obviously care about all these people. You see what's going on. Your heart breaks. You want to fix it. You can't possibly save and fix everybody. People are free to turn away from God, and that's the sad and scary part. But what you can do is focus on your own growth, your own love for God. Do the best you very can and give it to God. Let him take care of it.
And Gerson, we'll have to leave it there because we have come right up to the end of the hour, and I very much appreciate that. I also very much appreciate the way you talk about being converted to Christ. I have to say I identify with that. It's a beautiful thing. Once you catch a glimpse of him, and then you're caught.
You're
like, this is the real deal. This is the truth. And it's such a beautiful truth to know that God has given himself in love to us. The kind of love that he wants us to give ourselves to one another in marriage. As a matter of fact, the marital image is one of the primary images of what it is that Christ has accomplished. He's the bridegroom who has come among us and invites us to
The Eternal Wedding Feast.
The Feast. The Eternal Wedding Feast. Mm-hmm. Rose, sweet, you're all right. I kind of like hanging out with you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Cy.
I knew that was going to be you.
Really?
When you said it was your friend. I knew it was going to be you.
Oh, come on. You didn't know.
All right. Jimmy Akin's coming up. We're going to do some weird questions with Jimmy Akin. That is always fun, and I guarantee the questions really are weird. We'll be right back with that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.